Okay, turn your Bibles to Psalms chapter 38. Psalms chapter 38. We find David is very downcast and discouraged at this point in his life. His struggles have drained him of all strength. He cries out to the Lord, "I'm troubled. I'm bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. I'm feeble and sore broken. I've roared my reason of the disquietness of my heart. My heart panteth, my strength fails me. And as for the light of mine eyes, it's gone from me." Several years ago, Russell Arndt's public sale, a good Christian businessman came to me at that sale and told me, "Brother Roger," he said, "would you pray for me?" He said, "In the winter, I get bouts of terrible depression." And it just kind of shocked me because I just thought depression was a woman's thing. But I found out since that, all kinds of men have problems with depression. Many, I think it's probably as many men as women do. I've spoken on this subject several times before, and when I looked at the outline today, I wanted to lay it aside and try and go for something new, and I just didn't feel compelled to do that. I felt I needed to share it again. So I don't know who's needing to this message, but it's for you today. Here's a man who's wrote beautiful psalms extolling the beauty of the Lord and his glory. And now we see David in this depressed state, discouraged as many Christians today are. And he had reasoned in his heart that God must be chastising him. Pastor, how do you know that? Well, if you're at chapter 38, look at verse 1 and 2. "O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure." Because David knows if the Lord would do that, the Lord could bring David to nothing. "For thine ires stick fast in me, and thy hand presses me sore." So there's where we see that he had reason that God must be chastising him. David is describing what I believe many followers, many Christian followers, face at some time in their life. He's speaking of being under a very demonic attack from a plague of spiritual discouragement. Now, there are different kinds of depression. Barb Burketta would know about that. I know from listening to the radio station Focus on the Family, I believe there was a physical, a clinical, and a mental. Did I hit them? Get them? I believe that the one that's being addressed here is the mental depression that David is describing. And I believe that it's Satan's most potent weapon against God's people. I believe that this is something that we as Christians, we can't bring it upon ourselves. I don't believe that the Lord sends it to us, but I do believe it can come straight from hell. Because I believe that Satan wants to convince us that we have brought God's wrath somehow on ourselves by perhaps not measuring up to his holy standards. Well, how many people does that hit? How many times have you felt that way? Because you felt short. You fell short. Maybe some bad decisions you made, and you maybe lost your temper, and you just many fleshly things that happened to us. And we just feel that God's mad at me because I really blew it. I could have done better. I believe that affects many of us. The Apostle Paul urges us not to fall prey to this, lest Satan should get an advantage for us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. Paul mentioned this in 2 Corinthians 2:11. Paul was warning that with this discouragement, look at it for what it is. It's a demonic weapon. It is Satan's arrow that is stuck in you to get you to doubt yourself. He knows he can't tempt you to turn away from Jesus, but he swamps you with lies to make you so downcast that you want to throw in the towel. Boy, how many times has that ever happened in your life? You was that discouraged, you just felt like throwing in the towel. Well, what's the use? What's the use of being good? What's the use of trying? You know, sometimes it's so much easier to look at other people who are living in sinful lives, and it seems like nothing ever happens to them. They don't experience a lot of things that you think you experience, but they really do. You just don't see it. And it's easy to become discouraged and wonder why, what's the use? There's been many stories and books written and biographies of devout men and women whom the Lord has used through the years mightily. But they also were involved in discouragement. How many of you ever heard of Charles Spurgeon? Wow, that's a name that you should be familiar with. Did you know, with the multitudes that he'd won to Christ through his powerful sermons, he suffered awful bouts of melancholy, which is just another word for depression. In our modern terms, it's depression. He once lamented, this is what Charles Spurgeon said, "I've got the blackest heart in Britain." He went on to say that when he went into his garden, he raised his hands to God and cried, "Lord, I've never desired you more, yet my spirit has never been so low. Where are you?" Even as great a man as Charles Spurgeon asked the question, "Lord, where are you?" I have another message that I'd like to share sometime. It's called dry spells. Have you reached a dry spell in your life? You know, we certainly haven't experienced any dry spells lately. We have wet spells. And wet spells, I'm happy to have the wet spells. You know, we talk about all the rain, but yet, if it's dry, our wells go dry. The farmers' crops go dry. We should have a bumper crop of this year. Harvest should be beautiful and plentiful. And the leaves should be beautiful this year of all the rain. But yes, there's times we experience dry times. Times of depression and discouragement. And Charles Spurgeon was one that experienced that. Been many others that led crusades throughout the years also experienced times of depression. Have you ever said to yourself, "My life has been a complete waste. I'm a failure"? Well, then you can identify with David's words. "As for the light of mine eyes, it also has gone from me." Verse 10. We can talk to the Lord all we want about our feelings of failure. We can tell him about our despair over our sins and our foolish choices and mistakes that we make. But the Lord still invites, and he always will be tender with us in our helpless condition. And we're never to entertain the thought that he has ever abandoned us. Even in his despair, David cried out in the psalm. Look at verse 15. "For in thee, O Lord, do I hope. Thou wilt hear, O Lord, my God." I'm going to give you three things to help you when you feel that you're under a demonic attack of discouragement. The first thing is, don't rely on your own wits to try to maneuver your way out, because you're no match for the devil. You're no match for that demonic spirit that's against you. The battle is far beyond your skill. The battle is the Lord's, and give it to him. This conflict is a spiritual realm and has to be fought in the spirit. David's questions weren't doubts about God. He actually begins the psalm in chapter 42 by expressing his deep thirst for the Lord. "As the hart or the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee. O God, my soul thirsteth for God, the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" Chapter 42, verse 1 and 2. David was pleading, "Lord, I've never loved you more. Why am I so cast down? I believe that discouragement is the enemy's weapon of choice against God's people. When your attack comes, don't think it to be unusual. The Apostle Peter wrote this in 1 Peter 4:12, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you. You see, God allows this kind of trial with his saints, but he'll bring us out victoriously. Ask, and it shall be given. Number two, go to the Lord in prayer and allow the Holy Spirit to do his work. When you're cast down and you're discouraged, you probably don't feel like praying. Have you ever been there? Ever been so depressed you didn't even want to talk to anybody? You didn't want to see anybody? You just wanted to be alone. Have you been there? May not even be able to feel like praying, but you can whisper a prayer. You can talk to Jesus in your spirit. Remember Hannah? She prayed in her spirit. Didn't hear a thing come out of her mouth, but she prayed. Remember, Eli marked her mouth? But she prayed. You can do the same. You can do the same thing. Lord, help me. Remember that you didn't need to go to seminary to learn how to pray that prayer. Lord, help me. That's all you need to say. Lord, help me. I need you to help me. It's too much for me. I can't do anything but just sit here. I'm trusting your spirit to drive all discouragement out of me. Don't worry about trying to pray your way out, but give it to the Holy Spirit. It's a time for God's Spirit to work in you. Let the Holy Spirit work in you. Jesus promises, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, and I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. John chapter 14, verse 16 and 18. You see, the first thing the Spirit does when he comes is he exposes the lies of the devil. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. John 14, 26. You see, this is the work of the Holy Spirit. He undoes the lies of the enemy, and he brings encouragement from the Father. Thirdly, dare to believe the incredible good things that the Holy Spirit's going to tell you. Believe the incredibly good things the Holy Spirit's going to tell you. Many Christians enter God's presence every day. And you know what they expect? They expect to be reproved by him. Isn't that sad? Why do we do that? Why do we always think God's mad at us? How much do you think that must grieve the Lord? We need to go to prayer and be prepared to hear good things from our loving Father. He is our loving Father. Expect to hear good things. Don't expect to be reproved. Expect good from him because he loves you. And all who will wait on him will receive his goodness. As it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches the all things, yea, even the deep things of God. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 10. So let's just take a look at these two phrases from this passage. The things which God has prepared for them that love him. Satan will try to attack you. He'll try to flood your mind with lies and discouraging words. But if you'll just simply wait on the Lord, his Spirit will come and drive out the lies of Satan. And he does it by giving you a revelation. A revelation of the good things that God has prepared for you because he loves you. Our Lord has wonderful plans for each and every one of us. And no satanic attack can ever, ever, ever alter those plans. God knows the sorrows. He knows the struggles. He knows the pains that we face each day. But he also knows the glorious things that he has laid out and has prepared for us. He knows the revelation that we'll receive and the usefulness of it. If we'll just but seek him with all our hearts, we will see the joy and the peace, and he will send it to us. And then the other phrase in verse 10, God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. You see, he desires to show us the good things, what he has prepared for us. His Spirit is a messenger. The messenger bears that good word. The Holy Ghost will give wings to those drooping spirits that will be able to fly like eagles out of Satan's snare. Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 40, verses 28 through 31. You see, it's the work of the Spirit to encourage you. And our work is to simply trust him and let the Father fulfill his will in each and every one of you. So every head bowed, every eye closed. When you go to your secret closet, when you're discouraged, when you're depressed, and you quiet yourself before the Lord, even if you don't have the strength to speak, you can cry out to him and say, "Speak to me. Speak to me, Lord. Lord, I know you abide in me. I know you sent your Spirit to comfort me and to strengthen me and reveal the mind of Jesus to me. Speak to me your comfort. I don't have any strength left. You have to lift me up and lead me." Just remember those words next time you run through a depression and a time that you just feel so weak and feel like you're in a dry spell. You see, the Holy Spirit won't let you be deceived. He'll show you the good things that's ahead for you. But you must believe and speak, and he will speak to you. Would you all stand? You're not going to faint. You will come out of your trial victorious. And because of your faith, you'll be tried and tested as gold. You'll see the Lord fulfill every promise that he has made to you. That he has promised. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you spoke to my heart this morning through this precious word. And Lord, as though I just wanted to lay it aside and say, "Well, Lord, I wanted something fresh." But Lord, I thought I need to be obedient to you. So Father, I just pray now that this word that's gone forth will touch this one or many that's been experiencing discouragement in their life or have been going through a time of depression in their life. Father, let them know that they're loved and you love them so much. And to just call out to you. Say, "Lord, help me. Help me." And I know that you will. Thank you for each and every one today. Thank you for this precious day that you've given to us. Just love and enjoy you. Thank you for going to Calvary for me and dying for me. Father, it's time to go home. Be with each and every one. Give them a safe trip to their homes. In Jesus' name, and may we have a wonderful week. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Lord bless you.